Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
With a little love and some tenderness, we'll walk upon the water, we'll rise above the mist. With a little peace and some harmony, we'll take the world together, we'll take them by the hand. 'Cause I got him for you.
It is the final hour here on Thursday inside the Gamecocks, the show built by the Barndo Co. And Resto Pros of the Midlands provides our coverage of South Carolina baseball right here on ITG, part of the Chief Sports Network. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Nobody wants to have those problems, whether it's fire or wind or hail or water damage, whatever it is. But if you do, they're Gamecock owned, Gamecock operated. That means something, but this also means something to the best at what they do, and that's why they do what they do better than anybody and more than anybody. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Hat tip to Jeff Sturgis and his team. They also sponsored the Big Spur Golf Tournament this past Monday, which, Kip, my team, you're a golfer, you're a good one too. My team, me, Nick Godwin, you know Gotti, me,
yeah.
Gotti, and another buddy of ours, and Pat DeMarco, collectively shot a 51 and somehow finished in a three-way tie, and they gave us third place. That's BS, man.
Yeah, it is. DeMarco can play, too.
Yeah. Why do you think we shot a 51?
Yeah, he can hit it. Yeah, he can swing it.
Yeah, it's and on the eight, we would have shot a 52, but on the 18th, he drove. We were playing at Fort Jackson.
Yeah.
So he was 10 yards shy. Oh, no, he was – you know the bunker that protects the green on the 18th?
Yeah.
The left front bunker?
Yeah.
He was almost nestled up against it, and he chipped it in for eagle.
That's awesome. I believe it. Yeah, DeMarco can play. I was like, dude,
just leave my club in the bag. Anyways, awesome. It has been way too long. Sure. How you doing? Everything good?
Yeah, everything's great. Going great. Just busy with, you know, a little Carolina baseball and baseball with my kids. And between that, a little bit of work. So, yeah, just staying busy.
How about our friend Grayson Griner? When you're not there, he's been filling in up there. He's doing a nice job, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. I'm very appreciative of him and allowing me to spend a little bit more time with my kids on the weekends. And, yeah, it didn't surprise me that He's very well spoken and a student of the game and a great guy too. Just real happy for him, and I think he's done a wonderful job. Hopefully the listeners and viewers have enjoyed getting a little bit different perspective, and yeah, he does a wonderful job.
Well, you know how it is. Pitchers and catchers generally are pretty good because especially smart pitchers. Some pitchers are kind of wacky, but good. Smart guys like yourself or guys like Grayson who see the whole field, you have a feel for what's going on out there, and he's able to kind of really, really, really explain that. So King just talked a little bit ago, and they're going to stick with what they went with last weekend. So that they're going to go with Roman tomorrow night, who had a great start on Friday. He just had that little thumb issue. It was kind of strange. Did you ever get a – I saw King the weekend, but I didn't ask him. Did you ever get an understanding what was going on there?
No. I mean, I based on what I saw, it looked as if maybe – it sounds crazy, but I think it may have just been a really bad cramp or something. But, I mean, he was not able to grip the baseball, and you could certainly see it. It was evident because he was in command, which for him, as you guys know, watching, that's what it's all about for him. If he can locate his fastball, it, you know, it's 90, 91, 92, but it looks 97. I mean, he just hides the ball extremely well and the ball explodes out of his hand. And so that was disappointing, but, you know, I still, you know, if I'm Eli Jones, I would not be happy. Eli Jones does not deserve to have lost his Friday night gig. I'm still waiting to see Eli Jones get an opportunity to pitch 7, 8, 9 innings. I mean, he continues to get taken out with less than 80 pitches a lot. And, you know, that Florida game in particular, you know, he's up 3-1 on the road. And again, they win the game, but it is a game that I felt like he was in complete control. And I felt like there's been many a times where he's been in complete control of the game. Heck, he had a perfect game going through 6 innings and got taken out after he gave up a hit. So, but again, that's the pitcher in me. That's the competitor in me. And obviously Coach King and Coach Matt Williams, the pitching coach, have a job to do, and they make decisions. And that certainly doesn't mean that we always have to agree with them. But I just feel like Eli is deserved to be that Friday night guy. He pitches with a lot of command, a lot of poise on the mound. And, you know, I don't agree with it. I think he should be your Friday night guy. But to me, your Friday night guy is a guy that, you know, you'd like to see throw 100, 110 pitches. And I certainly think he can do that. But unfortunately for him, he hasn't been afforded that opportunity. But so did they announce? I haven't seen it. I've been on a conference call. So are they going with Kimball and then Jones? And after that, what are they going with?
Old Tibba. TBA on okay. Saturday.
Yeah, that's kind of what I figured.
So because it's kind of interesting, right? Because I was talking to somebody about this the other day. We both know pretty well. And this team, and I'm with you from a competitor standpoint. Like if I was Eli, I've done nothing to lose the Friday night job. Although I also understand, you know, you give us the most innings, it'd be nice to kind of balance this bullpen out because we don't really know what we're doing on Sunday. So I get it. I see both sides. I really do.
I do.
But I also, you know, when you're the best guy, you go on Friday night in this league because they're going to throw their best guy too. So, but you know, with all that said, it is increasingly felt like to me, and you step right in and correct me if you think I'm wrong. It has increasingly felt like to me, unless Kimball can really emerge as another top-notch guy. They thought he could months ago, and then he kind of had control issues. But if he does, if he can emerge, this will change this. It feels like, yeah, Eli Jones, and he kind of got everybody else. Like, they haven't really had one or two other guys step up and take that weekend role, Kip, and that's why I think we've seen so many different names kind of shifted around. It just feels to me like they're all – good, and but they're all kind of interchangeable parts. But then you've got Eli Jones. Is that, am I off, or what do you think?
No, and that's why I think he's your Friday guy. I mean, I think he's absolutely established himself as the guy. I've seen a lot of really solid moments from Ty Good. I feel like he should be a guy that that starts because he commands the running game extremely well. His poise on the mound is extremely good, but most importantly, he's a winner. You know, I mean, he won at College of Charleston. I think he knows how to win games. I think you saw a difference in the players and the atmosphere amongst the players. I mean, Friday night, I don't know if you guys got a chance to watch it, but against Arkansas, there were 8,000 people at that stadium. and you could have heard a pin drop. The atmosphere with the team was just nowhere close to what it normally is. Eli Jones is normally a guy that's out on the front, usually the very first guy coming out, you know, congratulating a guy after a good innings pitched or whatever. He was nowhere to be found. So my concern throughout this process of them switching Eli Jones is, where's the team's morale at? Where's the, you know, the team at in this situation? Because I know that is something that Eli takes very seriously, and he should. I mean, he's the Friday night guy, and I don't feel like he should have lost that opportunity. Now, having said that, as you know, I'm certainly a team first guy. So if that's what Mark Kingston feels like he needs to do for us to win, okay. You know, but again, for me, Eli Jones is definitely been a guy that has proven that he needs to be the Friday night guy. But hopefully, you know, Kimball, I just a Friday night guy. I mean, Kimball, you know, he's got 23 innings on the year. I mean, do we have confidence that he's going to go out and give you at least five innings? I have zero confidence that he's going to go out and give us five innings on Friday night. And when you're facing a Kentucky team that's batting just barely under 300 as a team, and they're 17-3 on the road, they're a top five team in the nation. I think it's going to be a game. They're going to have to use a lot of their bullpen. And then, you know, that works maybe if then on a Saturday you go, okay, well, we know Eli Jones will give us seven or eight innings. Well, we haven't seen that because he's been taken out so many times with less than 80 pitches. So that's the part that's a little bit confusing to me.
Yeah, I would Kip, we're on the same wavelength there, man. And with this Wildcat team coming into town, so offensively they could beat you a lot of different ways, and that's pretty scary. As a matter of fact, I think if South Carolina wins this series this weekend, it will be by far their best series win of the year over Vanderbilt and going to Florida or anything like that, because offensively, Kentucky's multidimensional. Collectively, they've got 10 sack flies and 10 sack bunts in the league, which is the most when you add those up. I think they have the best overall batting average in the league. I'm talking about in league play now.
Yeah, and I mean, they got six guys in the starting lineup batting over 300. We don't have anybody batting over 300. So, I mean, it's
and it's ball to the yard.
Yeah, and I do think that we match up pretty well from a pitching standpoint. We are deep. That is the good thing. You know, going back to the doubleheader on the Arkansas series, you know, we were in that game. That first game we won, and then the second game I felt like we were in, and it was 5-2 at the time, and we made a decision to bring in Michael Polk. And I was really shocked at that, just knowing that we had, I believe, Marlott came in after that, but it was 9-2 at the time. So there have been some decisions made there. I mean, and I know that King is really big on matchups and different things, but I just you know, you can't quantify the winning attitude and the competitiveness for me. And I just feel like, you know, bringing in a guy that's Polk's got now 2 2/3 innings pitched compared to a Marlott that's got 16, and Marlott's been extremely well. He's got 15 appearances. It was just a lot of question for me in that. So, but again, that's the former pitcher in me. I'm watching it as it goes. You can always second guess, but I mean, I second guess even the good things and the bad things. I mean, I think that I second guessed sitting Dylan Brewer, you know, and bringing in a guy that's got two plate appearances all year long in Austin Brindling. But Brindling certainly was a spark and did a nice job. I still would like to see Brewer get back in there. I mean, he's hitting 290 on the season. He's been very, very good for us. And the concern I have mainly with Brindling is he can't throw. I mean, something's going on there. I don't know if he's got an arm issue or what, but I mean, he literally cannot throw. So to me, you know, that is something to keep in mind. I mean, I know Brindling doesn't look like much of a DH, but maybe he's a guy you have to DH because you're certainly not going to sit Petrie and you certainly can't sit Jones. But I feel like Dylan Brewer, I just felt like that was a lot on a Friday night against Kentucky, against the number two team in the country at the time. You're taking your number one starter out and you're also taking Dylan Brewer out of the lineup. That was pretty risky in my opinion. So I just hope the team is still together and still happy, because that's a lot to overcome.
Kip Balknight joining us 1:18 here on Inside the Gamecocks. It is Thursday. We're one day from game day. Kentucky comes to town this weekend. Another crazy series. Carolina wins it, and here they are. They're right in host position. And that would go a long way in cementing that even more. Yeah, Brindley, I've heard some things, but, you know, it's nothing has come from the head coach publicly, so I guess I'm probably not going to be the one to say anything stupid. But you're right. He's having a difficult time throwing. So that is – it's very curious. Overall, offensively, I have been – when they were in Florida, JC and I were texting back and forth, and Whittle and Coach Lake, you know, bunch of us kind of going back and forth. And I mentioned, Kip, that I thought offensively this team needed to focus in hitters counts on trying to hit the baseball back up the middle. Because if they do that, they're going to find the gaps and some balls are going to leave the yard. And then when they get two strikes, you can't get beat. You mean, you remember those battles when you were on the mound? I mean, who did you hate facing more than anybody? Did you hate facing the team like LSU who could hit 150 home runs as a team? Or did you hate facing the team that was going to sit there and foul you off 50 times? And you might've struck them out, but it took 11 pitches to get there.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, if I'm facing South Carolina right now, it's just, quite frankly, I'm not concerned. There's just way too many strikeouts, way too many big swings and bad approaches with two strikes. I mean, you know, I think of a guy like Chris Burke, you know, facing him at Tennessee. I mean, I would literally tell him, I'm like, dude, man, here's a fastball, hit it. Just do whatever you're going to do with it. I don't care, because I don't want to throw 14 pitches to you. That's been difficult to watch because, you know, you look at guys like Petrie and Jones, even Messina, especially Gavin Casas, when they're driving the ball to left center field, right center field, and up the middle, that's when they're at their best. Casas was extremely good last year. He was hitting oppo home runs like it was nothing. He was just coming off the ball. I think we're in a day and age of the exit velo and then also velocity as a pitching staff. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk about arm injuries now in Major League Baseball. And I mean, when you can make the amount of money you can make playing this game just because you're able to throw 95, 97, doesn't necessarily mean you can get guys out. But what are you telling the kids? What are you telling the kids in high school? You're telling them, hey, if you throw 95, you're going to get a college scholarship. You're going to get NIL. You're going to go to the big leagues. And it's a problem. I mean, there's just guys, again, like a Ty Good, like a Eli Jones, they know how to pitch. And, you know, I don't care how hard you throw, if you throw it over the plate and it's in a hitter's count, they're going to hit it. So I really would like to see an adjustment offensively in our swings, because we're just striking out entirely too much. Having said that, just like you said, they go out and win this series, they're in line to host a regional. I mean, they're right where they need to be. The concern I have, though, is I think we've lost maybe 8 out of the last 9 series we've played. And, you know, it's one thing to, you know, when King talks about, okay, we're playing with the top teams in the country, but you're not winning the series. And I know the difference with Coach Tanner. Coach Tanner would tell us, okay, guys, you want to be good? You got to beat those teams. And he would publicly come out and say, guys, we got to do better. We're not happy and we're not accepting. You know, I'm not saying King is saying that we're happy with competing with those teams, but it's time to turn that table because last I checked, South Carolina's program, we weren't satisfied with losing 2 out of 3 to Arkansas. We wanted to win those 2 out of 3 games or sweep them. And again, I'm not saying that's not what they want, but they need to understand that it's not acceptable where we are. We should be 3, 4, 5 games above 500. We've got to figure out a way to win those series.
Yeah, you make a great point, and you're probably saying something a lot of people are really, really happy to hear publicly. I know last year when they did what they did against LSU, of course, the third game got rained out, but you know, you go back to the environment that night. That was reminded me a lot of the days of the Sarge, and then they swept the Gators, and shoot, matter of fact, now they've won what, 5 of the last 6 in the regular season against Florida, but they swept the Gators. That felt like Carolina baseball. And since then, yeah, they've been very close. It's not like they're going in and getting their brains beat in. That's not happening. But they haven't been able to make enough plays to win games. And I think a lot of that is offensively too. Again, though, Kip, you know, if you look around the rest of the league, this is happening everywhere with the exception of 1 or 2 teams each year. And they still have a chance, like with Kentucky and then going to Missouri and then Georgia and then at Tennessee, and they go win 3 of the next 4 series, they might even be a top 8 national seed, you know, which that's is right. Crazy. That's how thin the line is, right?
It is. And I mean, and that's what they've got. I mean, they've got it right in front of them. I mean, they're in a good position. Could they be in a better position? Yeah. But are they in a position? Absolutely. I just, I'm ready to see them take advantage of where they are. And I hope that the environment is much better this Friday night. I talked about it on air actually during the game on Friday night, the 8,000 we had there. There was a time when I believe it's Smith is his last name for Arkansas, the starter on Friday night. I mean, he's obviously, in my opinion, the best pitcher in baseball, in college baseball now. I mean, he's outstanding, but he actually asked for a review on a ball that hit Petrie, and it did not get overturned, and it clearly rattled him. And I watched him out there, and he was a little rattled, and he went on to throw 6 straight balls. And that was a time where I felt like, I know if I'm at LSU, if I'm at Mississippi State, if I'm at Ole Miss, if I'm at Arkansas, if I'm at even Kentucky, if I'm at really basically anywhere, the crowd had an opportunity at that point to make a major impact to where this is a home field advantage. And I've said this for years, and it's not just this past Friday night against Arkansas. It's even when we were winning World Series. It's even when, you know, the ballpark opened at Founders Park. It's never been an environment that is equal to or even close to the toughest places to play in the SEC. And I would love to see, as a former player, I would love to see that change. And it's not, in my opinion, just the fans' fault. It's the university's fault. I mean, we're playing Patsy Cline in between innings. I mean, we're not doing anything to get those fans engaged and up on their feet. And I mean, I've heard several stories about the Yellowcoats, you know, getting on fans for trying to be rowdy to the opposing team. And I'm certainly not condoning wanting us to say bad words and do bad things, but I just know what it feels like to go on the road in the SEC. And I would just love to see us be able to develop more of a home field advantage, because all I'm doing is saying everything that the current coaches, former players, current players, they all feel. They probably just don't feel like saying it. And, you know, I've had some feedback from some fans that are clients that, you know, say, oh, well, you know, it's, what are we doing getting excited? What do we have to do to get excited about a mediocre baseball program right now? They're just not happy with where the program's going. But that, for me, I mean, you think LSU, who won a national championship last year, and they think they've won 4 games in the SEC right now, you think that those things have changed at LSU? No, it's part of their culture as a fan base. And I would just love to see us have a home field advantage. So I think that that could really, really help this team, and I would love to see it moving forward.
I don't want to put you on the spot, and we're friends. You know, I would never bring you on the show to throw you under the bus or anything like that. But do you, just out of curiosity, do you have any ideas as to what could help? Because I don't disagree with you now. I took my kids to their first game Saturday, and I was telling my wife, I was like, you know, I've been in this ballpark where it sure is special. There's no doubt. When it's special, it's special. That's for sure. But you pitched at the Sarge. I know the Sarge. Every time you walked out there, it felt special. And, of course, winning helps. But
it does.
Environment, the environment there was – it was like a big party all the time, Kip. It really was.
It was. And I think the word is pro – you know, I don't – I haven't really thought about exactly the way to change it, but I would say the opposing stadiums that I've mentioned, they're proactive and not reactive. As a fan base, it seems as if, yes, of course, when we hit a home run or when we go up, we're loud and it's great, but if we're down to, I mean, I was watching Mississippi State the other day when I came home on a Sunday after my son's baseball games, and they were down 3-1 in the seventh inning. And I'm looking at 10,000-12,000 people, and they're chanting during, you know, they're down 2-1. This is the last inning. They go on to tie it up. They're down 3-1, excuse me. They go on to tie it up, and they go on to win in extra innings. And I firmly believe that the opposing team, I'm trying to remember who they were playing on Sunday this past weekend, Mississippi State. But anyway, irregardless, I firmly believe they felt, gosh, it's tough to play here. It is tough to get a win on the road in the SEC at Mississippi State because they were loud. It wasn't just when things were going good. They're down 3-1. They're making it tough on the opposition. And again, the word proactive, not reactive. So it's doing whatever chant we've got to do. It I think it also involves the university in making sure they play the right music or making sure they have something to get the fans going to ask them, hey, everybody on their feet, whatever it might be. I think that it's pretty easy to figure that out. I just unfortunately don't think that that's part of their plan or their process, and I don't understand that. I've told Coach Tanner that for years. I've talked to current coaches, former Coach Holbrook, and I used to talk about it. We've talked about it. We've exhausted tons of energy talking about it, but unfortunately, nothing's ever really been done about it, and I just would love to see it. It's not a shot at the fans at all. I love the fans. I mean, I'm very appreciative. Those fans, for me, made a huge difference in my career. I can't remember having two strikes on a batter pitching at Sarge Frye Field where the fans were not on their feet, standing up, clapping for me and my team. And I would just love to see that transition over to Founders Park.
Yeah, it didn't seem like, Kip, during the broadcast that it was – you were really kind of directing that at the fans. It just kind of was like – it was more almost amazement, like, wow, this is really the situation here for this kind of game. You know, there wasn't any blame or anything threw around. It was just an observation because I was noticing the same thing just watching the game. I was like, man, it seems like a pretty subdued crowd for a seriously pivotal – series that week.
I thought Saturday game one, they came alive when they put the hitting streak together. I also think this. Again, I think anytime when you're just a fan out there, you know, and I guess that would be me and Phil. We don't live it, breathe it like you guys. But when you're just a fan out there, you know, you're kind of clinging to hope. And this team, unfortunately, sometimes there's not as much hope when you got runners first and second with nobody out as there maybe has been with previous teams because they tend to leave runners stranded and things like that. I did notice, though, the other day when they got up 6-1 and kind of broke it open, the reactions to the hits were a little louder each time. And I'm not making excuses because I think, by God, I've seen Founders Park during Super Regionals at night back in the day, and it could be one of the best environments in college baseball. And I don't know why there's this apathy, because I mean, this team could still host and all that, but I did notice it came alive a little bit then and then died again. So I think you make really good points. I think a lot, some of it though, is kind of, I think this team and people kind of just sitting around waiting for them to put the inevitable big inning together. And sometimes it just never comes.
Well, JC, I think you're right. And I don't disagree with you. I think there have been certainly great moments at Founders Park and regionals and so forth. But again, you know, I can remember in regionals when we were down, and I can't remember who it was against, but it was not a powerhouse team, but we were down and we ended up coming back and winning and moving on in the regionals. And I think it may have been one of the Omaha years, but, you know, again, it was reactive as opposed to the proactive. I mean, there's just, you know, there's something about 14,000 fans at LSU when they're screaming and yelling, even if they're down 3-1 in the eighth or seventh, they know that they're able to help cheer their team on and bring them alive, if you will. And it's just when you're there and you're on the road, it makes it extremely difficult. I mean, I can remember the year that we were 50-6 in the regular season. We went to LSU, and on Friday, I came out. We were winning. We get to the ninth inning. You know, you can't hear yourself think. They're down two runs. They walk us off. Saturday, boom. Same thing. We're winning ninth inning. They walk us off. And then Sunday, we're on. It's one of my favorite stories ever. I mean, I think Coach Toman ended up getting into it with some of the fans after the game on Saturday night. Coach Tanner had to break it up. I mean, it was tough. Okay. And then Sunday, as we're coming into the stadium, you know, there's 3,000 drunk LSU fans yelling and cussing at us with their brooms. Well, then Sunday, we almost blow it again. We win. And we're all going crazy on the bus after we shower. We're heading home. And Coach Tanner yells, "Stop the bus." And he said, "Stop the bleep bus." And we think, "Oh crap, we're about to get yelled at." He goes out and yells at the LSU fans and says, "Where are your brooms now?" And we all go crazy. And I remember I walked up to Coach Tanner. I sat right back down beside him. I said, "Pretty tough weekend, wasn't it?" He said, "Man, I tell you," he said, "I don't know if anything's ever gotten to me like it just did." And my point in that is, wouldn't that be sweet if that's how others feel about us? And when I say us, it's the fans, it's the players, it's the administration, it's everybody. It's a combined effort to make this a place known that when you come here, it's going to be tough to get some wins. And I just think that I'm a firm believer that all of those places I mentioned, they get 3-5 wins a year just because their fans are amazing. Not saying that there were 8,000 fans at the game Saturday or Friday night against Arkansas. They paid their hard-earned money. I appreciate that. The players appreciate that. The coaches appreciate that. But what can we do to make it a tough environment? And it's very simple. I mean, again, not calling the fans out, not calling the it's not just all of them. I think it's a collective effort. And I think, you know, if we all wake up and every day and we look in the mirror and go, okay, what can I do better today? That's all I'm asking. It's a collective effort, and I'd like to see something done about it.
Yeah, you hear about it in sports, college sports these days. Alignment is like – they talk about it in football a lot. Alignment. Programs need alignment. And that's what you're talking about. Everybody.
It's a good word. Aligned. You're right.
I like it too. And, yeah, and I remember going to the Sarge and – early Founders, the Gamecock baseball crowd was significantly different than the football or basketball crowd, where you're kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop. You weren't waiting for the other shoe to drop. You're waiting for them to rally.
And
the Sarge especially, I mean, they're never out of a game, ever.
That's a great point. And I can remember literally talking to Spurrier about it. Spurrier would say, "Kip, man, we got to get our fans to be like y'all's. I mean, what do we got to do to get – you know, instead of in the third or fourth quarter, our fans sitting back and going, oh, what are we going to do now? It's that apathy. It's that, okay, well, what are we going to – it's like first and second no outs. Well, what are we going to do to screw this up? Well, you saw the fans change during that tenure. And I understand that winning breeds that. I get that. But I just think that maybe the fans don't realize how much of a difference they can make. But again, I put a lot of responsibility on that with, you know, I think the current coaches, obviously, of course, they don't want to call out the fans. You never want to call out anybody. But again, I think it's a collective effort. And I think it's a bigger deal than some may. And I know we're spending a lot of time on this, and I appreciate you letting me talk about it, because I think it's extremely important. Yep. And it's something that I felt ever since we moved into Founders Park. It's not something that is just this year. This has been going on for a long time.
Well, you know, Kip, I think two things can be true at the same time. And because what I'm hearing you say and what I've heard you say, is you're not saying is that they would be winning more if the fans were louder necessarily. The team needs to win baseball games. That's their Absolutely. Job. Whether there's one person or 9,000 out there, they got to go win baseball games. But also it's very important to create an environment that's fun for that team to play in. It's hard for the other team to play in. And let's be honest here. And JC, you know all about this because you're in charge of a lot of it behind the scenes. Recruiting. I mean, Kip, we've got the same people in our little circle of friends, right? And I can tell you, I know a kid that walked into Mississippi State, and I get it, the dude is special, but walked into Mississippi State and walked into Founders Park, and that was a huge difference for this young man as to why he chose them.
Absolutely. And you know, going back to when Smith was pitching for Arkansas, I didn't finish my point there. You know, he went on to throw six straight balls, but I felt like we had an opportunity with 8,000 people there. Time he asked for the, I guess it's maybe the knowledge and paying attention and going, okay, we got this guy. He's just didn't get the call that he wanted. Let's stand up. Let's yell ball one, ball two, whatever, boom, ball three. And who knows? Maybe it motivates him and maybe he shuts us down. I don't know. But I just know when you're on the road in that situation, if I would have asked for a replay, which of course we didn't have at the time, man, it would have been, all hell would have broke loose. I mean, it'd be nuts. And I just felt like there's times during the game where they can make an impact. And the way I look at it, if you're there, and I mean, heck, there's alcohol involved now. You're there, get you a beer, have some fun, you know, get loud.
Maybe that's the problem. Maybe we need to go back to having everybody tailgate in the parking lot.
Exactly, maybe so.
Friday, yeah. Yeah. Open tailgating on Friday and then dollar beer night. And the problem solved.
There's no doubt I'd have dollar beer night. There's no doubt.
Yeah. Even if you did it in the non-con only, I mean, or midweek, right. You know, I mean, you want students to pack that place out who are going to be uninhibited and will yell at players, you know, just, hey, let the yellow vests have their hands full.
Yeah. I thought if there was a way for a while to take the berm down the right field line and wrap it around in the right field. And then also give the students something in left field. I don't know, maybe right above the visitor's bullpen.
Yeah. Oh, I can tell you, I know what it feels like to throw in, well, the old Alex box at LSU. I mean, yeah. I can assure you it was not a comfortable bullpen to throw in. I mean,
you're trying to get loose down there and they got guys talking about your girlfriend and throwing beer at you and everything else. Yep. And then you gotta run, you're trying to run between there and in the mound about thinking about,
that's well, right,
is my girlfriend actually home or is she really here in Baton Rouge or not? Look, man, we've kept a lot of your time. I know you got to get back to work, but we miss you. We miss having you here. So we got to maximize every minute we get. So we'll get you back soon. Final quick thoughts on the weekend. I know we've covered a lot of this initially, but with Kentucky coming in, they swing it well, they throw it well. Lee Ellis will be this starting shortstop moving forward for at least a little bit amount of time with Will Tippett being out. Although, by the way, he's swinging the bat actually pretty well. I think he's hitting 333 in league play. So yeah. Hat tip there. He's going to have to clean it up defensively. You can't make mistakes this weekend. This team will make you pay if you do.
Yeah, I agree. And I still think that was a bad call on the error on him. That was an error on Casas. That throw, I mean, it was never hit the dirt. But having said that, Casas is a dude over there, man. He's been great defensively. Makes a lot of good plays. But, you know, again, it's a team that I think that, you know, they've got a chance. I mean, I do believe it's a series that South Carolina's pitching can make an impact. And I would love to be able to see, you know, looking back, you know, hopefully after the weekend and looking and see that Kimball's able to throw six innings or something. I mean, that'd be wonderful. But, you know, I feel like it's not necessarily a must win, but I think if they want to host, I think this is a weekend where they could make a statement. And Kentucky has certainly not played the schedule that South Carolina has played. So South Carolina is certainly battle tested, but they're going to have to swing it. I mean, Petrie was clearly off last weekend. He was just a tick late on a lot of really good pitches to hit. And maybe that's he's trying to get too big and trying to hit the ball out of the ballpark. I don't know what he's thinking inside. But I tell you what I still love is he had an RBI ground out, hit it brawl to shortstop, and he's coming back, and he's clapping, and he's happy. So I know that his mindset is in the right frame of mind. He's playing for his team, and I look for him to have a big bounce-back weekend.
I'm with you. Ethan Petrie, Cole Messina combined to go. Let's see. I don't know. 14 for 24, and they hit 12 home runs. That's going to be my prediction.
That'd be awesome.
There you go. Yeah. Hey, look forward to hear. This is getting more difficult every week. By the way, I've got you and Dave on TV, or I had Grayson on, but you got to give love to Coach Lake and Derek. You know.
Yeah.
So we're sitting here. You got you going. My wife. She's about to. She literally. I feel like her head's going to fall off. She's like, why the hell do you have to have the radio on and the TV on at the same time? You mute one. Yeah. You go, this is ridiculous. You're talking about the same thing. I'm like, no, they're not.
That's right. Like, you know, that's right.
Lake's talking about the hitter. Kip's talking about the pitcher. I got to hear both of them.
That's right. So, yeah, that's good stuff.
Man, I'm glad we had you. Thanks for everything that you do for Carolina baseball, man. You've always done a great job, and you're a great ambassador for the university and a good friend too. And we do need to get around to golf in. So next time we can schedule that, I'll figure it out. We'll get a nice little group and go play.
Yeah, that'd be great, JB. Y'all hit me up.
All right, man. Thanks, Kip.
Man,
thanks.
All right, guys.
Later, dude. There you go. The great Kip Baltnight, and he'll be on the call tomorrow night. All right,
good to hear from him. Timely interview after the weekend. You know, agree, disagree with Kip, whatever. He loves the University of South Carolina more than just about all of us, you know, and he's going to tell it like it is. So,
yeah, no doubt. Kip's always.
I had some idiot on Twitter talk about the ratings were down for Carolina baseball. And so he's trying to get viewers. What goes through people's mind? I mean, come on.
That's what, I mean, like none of it was sensationalized. That's what I liked about it. And when, you know, cause I actually heard him say it live, and I'm like, because I was having the same thought. I was like, damn, that place just, I know there's thousands of people there. It just seems awfully subdued.
I'll say this, the TV mics are not very good. So they make it a lot worse than it actually is. If you're there in person, I can promise you that. You listen to the radio and it sounds like,
when they broke it open in game one of the doubleheader, you were there. I mean, I was listening from my hotel. It seemed like the crowd with every hit got a little bit louder, a little bit more, roared a little bit more. Yeah. I don't know. That was just me, you know.
That's normal.
Part of baseball. It was a rally, you know.
You get on a – I know what Kip's saying, because Kip's got a baseball – I get it. Like, I understand that. Like, there are certain – you feel the moment or you don't. You either get it or you don't. There's a game within the game. You either understand this is a moment and you absorb that moment. That's what a good baseball crowd is, understanding the game. You hear this stuff all the time on TV. People rarely know what it means. But what it means is when that you can feel a moment good crowds can, good baseball crowds can, not the guy who's just there just because he got a free ticket from his buddy at work and he's munching on a hot dog and looking on Facebook or Tinder or swiping left and swiping right and has no idea it's the seventh inning and the Gamecocks are down two because he grew up a Penn State fan and he just happens to live down here. You know, like those guys, they don't know and they don't care. So, you know, I know what Kip is saying. I agree with every word he said, actually, as a matter of fact. But I think the two things can coexist and they don't have to blame one another. The players and the administration should never be frustrated with the fans and blaming them for a win. They're not. That's not what I'm saying. And the fans shouldn't be blaming the team for not getting excited. If you go to a game, get excited. I get excited every time I'm at a game because I want to be there. They can coexist.
I'll say this too. Williams Bryce said, I'm shocked that I'm having this conversation right now. And I don't think all is lost on the baseball diamond. When you go to Williams-Brice Stadium now, especially if it's a night game, you better pack a lunch because it's hell to pay with the crowd.
Yeah.
When you go to the Colonial Life Arena and it took a big start, you know, and it took about 13, 14 games before it got there, men and women, and women, the women have been there. It's the best crowd in the sport. But there's hell to pay at Colonial Life Arena. It's loud. You got light show. You got sandstorm. You got all this crazy stuff. Founders Park has been there before. I mean, I don't want to get into this whole, like, people were like, oh, it's a pro environment now. Well, just like the CLA, where I almost to convince myself it was too big. I've seen Founders Park. Y'all remember the daggum Super Regionals against Oklahoma and Connecticut back-to-back? You remember those crowds? You remember the Clemson series?
Yeah, nuts.
In the regional here? I mean, it was a while back, and it hasn't been the best decade. It's not the glory years anymore, but the Founders Park, I'll throw another one. The regional they lost to Virginia and that Old Dominion game, there hadn't been a better crowd in years there. I mean, so it's a capable environment. I think winning has something to do with it, and I think – sort of the way this team loses at times is frustrating for folks to watch. A lot of one-run games, a lot of missed opportunities. That sucks. But when you're just out there watching. But I don't think it's lost. I think it's nothing. If you sweep Kentucky this weekend, nothing that won't fix, right?
Yeah.
I can tell you what we're going to lose, clients, because we haven't run any of their commercials. So we need to do that now. It's 150. Oh, we'll be right back. God.
I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Disaster comes uninformed. During and after natural disasters or accidents, there can be a heavy loss to property. Having your home or office destroyed or damaged by water, fire, smoke, or mold affects your personal and business lifestyle. Resto Pros of the Midlands is here to help. Open 24/7. Call them when you need them. 803-493-0170. Resto Pros of the Midlands. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Quality that is guaranteed.
Down here in the South, we don't always see eye to eye. While our taste in college football teams or what sauce, if any, goes best on a rack of ribs or what to mix with our Dixie vodka might be up for debate, we can all agree there's nothing better than a Southern tailgate. And like our favorite college teams, our ingredients come from small towns and big cities. They're grown in Southern soil, are crafted by Southern hands, and proudly represent the South in our backyard and beyond. So raise a glass of Dixie Southern Vodka to celebrate being made in America and raised in the South.
Welcome home. That's what the Gamecocks say, and so does the Barn Dough Company, where they can build your dream home starting as low as $160 per square foot. If you live in the Carolinas, Georgia, or Tennessee, their turnkey process takes just 4 to 6 months on average and can be custom designed by size and details. Make your dream a reality. Visit thebarndominiumco.com. That's thebarndominiumco.com. The Barn Dough Company. Gamecock owned and operated.
When you're a developmental program, which all Group of Five schools are, and you lose a great player, that's going to hit you much harder with that next guy plugging in because he's not there yet. He may be there. He's just not there right now.
I just recently reported about you know, the heart issue that, but, you know, ultimately let a Big Ten stop. And originally decided not to play football. And we had reported out that story, kind of unearthing that it was because of the heart issue, potentially with
is that myocarditis?
Myocarditis.
I still had 10 scholarship offers because Chase would go play baseball and I would get a lion's share of the reps in the spring and they're like, who's this number 17? He's pretty good.
Listen to these interviews and more on the JC and Morgan podcast by downloading the Chief Sports app. Part of the Chief Sports Network.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And we welcome you to Founders Park. It's time for baseball, folks. That ball ripped right and deep and gone. Swinging a drive. Left field. Way back and gone. Lifts the ball into the air the opposite way. Has he done it twice? Yes, he has.
Now to the left. Taylor to the wall. It's gone. Back-to-back home runs for South Carolina.
There's a high drive. That ball is tagged. That ball is way out of here. A grand slam home run for Ethan Petri. What else can this young man do, Derek? My goodness, that ball was killed.
This is Ethan Petri from Gamecock Baseball. You are now listening to Inside the Gamecocks, the show. Be loud. Go Gamecocks.
Presented by Resto Pros of the Midlands. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com.
Yep, our coverage presented by Resto Pros of the Midlands. All Gamecock baseball hats are restocked at Gamecock Traditions in Lexington and the Village at Sandhill, GamecockTraditions.com. If you are going to go watch them play this weekend, get you a new Gamecock baseball hat, black, garnet, camo, they're all there. Gamecock Traditions, GamecockTraditions.com. A reminder, all logoed sales, a portion will go to NIL at the University of South Carolina, which, of course, will help the baseball program. One other thing I'll add on this, and then I'll move on and get our quick wrap up on the draft tonight. I agree. Look, I think that the energy needs to be returned to Founders Park. They got to figure out how to do it. They're not under 500. They're in the top 25. This is a top 25 baseball team. They're competing for a chance to host a regional. So for those that think the life is sucked out of the program, you're wrong, okay? I know that there are days that they're bad. I know that they've had issues. They're in the top 25. They're in the top 20, depending on which poll you look at. They're projected to host a freaking regional. And there are recruits. Some of them pop into our chat box. The players watch our program. You think they don't see you bitching and moaning about them and their coaches all the time? Like, sorry, maybe some of you don't want to hear that, but it's true. You know, maybe go be loud on your own without needing Ethan Petri to hit a ball 450 feet for you to be energized again. So, I mean, I'm going to stand a little bit with the players on this because, I mean, I just had a conversation with three of them and they're kind of tired of hearing it. And if you don't like that, then I get it. Maybe you don't need to go to the game and just sit there and be negative the whole time. But, like, people are acting like this program is terrible. They're in the top 20. They're competing to host a regional. Like, maybe they're not in the top 8 right now where they absolutely have every chance and ability to be. But they're not a bad baseball team. Like, some of the comments I see, it's like this team can't win a game. They went to a freaking super regional last year. And they got a chance to host another regional this year as a top 16 national seed. and the energy sucked out of the ride. What are we talking about? That's bull crap. So, I mean, I do not agree with any of that. I think it's insane.
I don't either. The same thing in basketball. I mean, Frank had what, two or three bubble teams, and nobody would rally behind the bubble team. It's almost like you had to be. I mean,
Bird, I know what you're saying, Bird. This is the second day in a row. You want to act like a jackass? I'll correct you again. This is the second day in a row that you. Yeah, that 2-5 is not a great series record. Let me remind you of something, Bird. They are still projected to host a regional. Have you looked at that? Do you know anything about what it takes to host a regional? Do you know that there are teams out of this league every year that go 3-7 in the league and host a regional? Did you know that, Bird? Did you know that? Probably not, because you don't do your research. You just get to type on a keyboard, okay? All right? That's what it means. It doesn't mean that it's perfect. It doesn't mean that it's as good as we want it to be or that they want it to be. But attacking players and attacking coaches and saying that they've sucked the life out of the program, they are in the top 20, guys. They're in the top 20. It's because of how you asked it, just like yesterday. Okay? It's the same thing. I'll kick you out again. Don't think I can't. I will. Okay? You don't ask things or say things in a condescending manner when we control the program. All right? Got it? Everybody understand that? I'm tired of some of this stuff that goes on. The players and the coaches do need protection from some of this crap. They're in the top 20. They're not Missouri or Auburn. Am I saying anything? That's also a fact, right? Is that a fact or no? Am I lying? No, I'm not.
No.
Oh, look, there's a chance.
Missouri or Auburn.
Look, yeah, I think Kentucky.
Are they LSU this year? Where's LSU? Not even in the damn tournament. And they won the national championship last year.
Yeah, same with our friends down there in Gainesville.
In Florida? Yeah. They ain't in the tournament either. All right?
Man, okay, you're gonna see stuff like that too.
Let's get some facts in here instead of just dogging everybody all the time. Kip's right. The environment needs to be better. Kip's also right. The baseball team needs to be better. A lot of you are right. Baseball team needs to be better. I say that all the time. All the time. But the program isn't in shambles.
No, that's
what are we talking
critical
about?
Kip was critical of about four or five coaching moves and player moves before he even brought up the fans, too.
Right,
so, right. I mean,
what are we talking about?
He's wanting some improvement across the board, and like you said, it's about alignment. And it's about wanting, you know, the desire to have a good – I mean, you can't put the cart before the horse. I mean, they don't – sports teams don't – your favorite sports teams don't owe you anything if you have to have requirements to support them, you know, like prerequisites.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, well, they win, I'll come. And sure, it's a fact of life. The more the team wins, the more you're going to show up. And if this team was, you know, 2-20 in the SEC right now, I don't think the crowds would be big and nobody would expect that. But they're in the middle of competing for a regional and super regional host. There's 12 more games to go, two home series, including another top five team coming in this weekend.
Yeah.
I've seen people say Kentucky's past South Carolina as a program. Kentucky's the only team in the league that has not been to Omaha. So, yeah.
I never said you didn't have a right to speak your opinion, by the way. That's not what I said. But I also get to say facts. Like, what are you trying to say? We can talk anytime. You're not going to have my cell number. I don't get my cell number out to fans of the show. Okay? But if I ever see you, walk up and say whatever you want to say. I don't care about that. All right? Okay? I never said you have a right to have any opinion you want. I have a right to challenge the opinion, and I have a right to challenge the information. You're right. You tune in to our show because it's entertaining. We appreciate that. But I'm also going to give you good information, which is what I'm giving you right now. So that's where that ends.
Y'all are lucky I don't go off on some of the stuff y'all say in the chat box. Y'all aren't ready for that yet. That maybe one day. Maybe
don't trigger Mad Dog, please.
Actually, that's the most truthful thing that's been said today.
Did I go off last week?
Lucky,
on a
Thursday? I practice a lot of mindfulness, and
it's Thursdays where we go off on Thursday. This is go off Thursday.
Go off Thursday.
Because I went off last week on Thursday. By the way, John Edward, if I was a little harsh last week, I see you're back. I'm still completely don't agree with you, but I'm sorry if I got a little bit.
Here the other day, John Edward. By the way. John Edward, by the way, wanted to make sure I don't think we did that, and I apologize. he wanted to pass on along an apology to you.
All right, that's fine. We're all good now. I felt bad about it right afterward, but because I took it a little too far. Much like I did today on thebigspur.com, if you guys want to go check out that locked thread. People, don't lie about NIL. Don't lie about it. They had some clown saying that Beamer doesn't want to spend money in NIL for a portal receiver. I can tell you that's absolutely not true at all. Shane Beamer's never said anything like that to anybody at any point in any time. I know how much everybody's getting, and if anything, there's some guys that get paid too much, right? Yeah. Yes, they need money for football because money's been pouring in for basketball right now because they have momentum. And yeah, you know, there's a need there, but it has nothing to do with Shane Beamer not wanting to pay in the portal. Beamer really just wants players. I mean, this is one of the dumbest things I've ever read in the history of message boards during this show. But I'm not going to go out of it. But I'm going to go off on it right now. Just please, if you got an NIL question, ask me. I will tell you as accurately as I possibly can. And don't listen to BS like that, because that's a pile. I mean, that's like the worst lie I've heard in a long, long time concerning the Gamecocks. And it could be damaging, because if it gets out that your head coach is a penny pincher, all these 5 stars and 4 stars that are visiting, they're just going to start canceling the visits. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not that they're all chasing the money, but if they know they're not getting any money right up front, they're not gonna sniff you at all.
Sure has changed, hasn't it?
And it's not true. It's not true. I mean, what was said was not true. The head coach is not. I mean, I've seen the budget for football and how everybody's getting this. I've actually shared some of it with JB. I mean, you'd be surprised. it's if anything, it's over.
Yeah, way over. That's for sure. Big slam. If there's a good portal wide receiver out there, probably going to Ole Miss to the basketball
team. Play basketball. I love it.
Lane Kiffin's going to be like Bear Bryant, put everybody on a track scholarship.
All right. Is Daniel Kelly right? Do the Gamecocks have 2 first-rounders tonight? Let's all agree to say yes.
Program, I'd love to see it, man. But
I would too. I'd love to see it for both of them.
What a story if Spencer goes in the first round. I mean, they're both great stories. Man. You talk about the
that'll Bob trump Marley. Any talking point tomorrow on all the shows. If Spencer Rattler sneaks into the first round tonight, that will be the lead story on basically every sports talk show out there.
Yeah, he'll get trashed too. Kuiper and those guys. Like Kuiper's hair will be like, I can't believe this. What a terrible pick.
Let's talk it into existence then.
All right, guys.
Yeah.
We'll be back
tomorrow. I got a daughter's appointment.
Stuart Lake, Derek Scott, and I'm missing somebody, but we got 3 guests tomorrow. I know that. So looking
Derek's
forward to
coming
it.
Back, finally. Where's Derek?
Yeah, he's been sick. He's been sick.
Oh,
okay. Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Strickland?
For Daniel Strickland. Kelly. Yeah, maybe Strickland. Yeah, it might be straight. It is straight. Daniel Kelly, Kip Bolton, thanks to them, and always Mad Dog and Schubert. See you tomorrow at 11 on Inside the Gamecocks, the show.